And we're back once again. We're back here with Senator Tonya Schutmacher. And good morning, Tonya.
Good morning, Duke.
How are you this morning?
I am doing wonderful.
Good, good. All right. Let's talk about some of the things going on in the Senate. How about the core that I'm hearing all about lately?
The Common Core? The
Common Core.
Yes. Yeah. That, actually, the House is kind of, I think, taking the lead on that. They've had hearings all summer, and we'll probably be either voting that up or down, probably either in the next week or two. The Senate is just starting hearings on
it. Okay. How do you feel about that?
You know, there's good arguments on both sides. On one hand, we have a very transient population, and so you need a standard. And regardless of even if you are against Common Core, you do need a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is that standard? And the standard has been adopted in most other states, and so that's so that you can show uniformity. The arguments against it would be that you're kind of giving up local control, although
yeah.
I think at any time Michigan could still change it if they find out that, you know, it's not what they want. So
will the state have a veto power over it?
Yes, yes. And I do believe that you will have a veto power of it. The problem is that once you've expended the funds that you want to.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, there's been no real successful guarantees that this will, you know, make our children more smarter. But
right.
That being said, this is, I think, a important thing for us to certainly discuss and decide upon and make a decision as to it. Because
well,
I know a lot of schools are out there kind of hanging, waiting for us to make a decision.
A lot of parents are, too.
A lot of parents are, too. And you need a standard.
Right.
So one way or another, I think that this issue needs to be decided before October 1st.
All right. What will the Senate be working on this week?
I have not taken a look at the calendar yet. Last week in Judiciary, I would imagine this bill will be coming up. We heard the Supreme Court, we heard juvenile, they commit murder. It's often been the case that, you know, a lot of times prosecutors plea bargain it down, but in certain cases, for whatever reason, they end up being sentenced to life without the possibility of parole.
Mm-hmm.
The United States Supreme Court said that this is cruel and unusual punishment to do this, and so we had to update our sentencing statutes to reflect to be in conformity with the United States Supreme Court decision. So it's still possible, but it's not an automatic guarantee that a juvenile will go away without life of parole.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
We'll probably be working on that bill. That actually is a Rick Jones bill that we heard last week in the Senate. And I know Representative Hovman has been very actively
right.
to say that, you know, sometimes when we all look back on our teenage years, we weren't necessarily thinking the best and, you know, certainly did not exercise probably all the time with the maturity of an adult. But nonetheless, you still need to be accountable for your crimes.
Mm-hmm. All right. By the way, 395-1450 is our number here. If you'd like to talk to the senator this morning, we'd be happy to entertain your call. And what else you got going on in the Senate lately?
Well, let's see. Also, the issue of roads.
I
just was over at the Grand Rapids Chamber this morning, and they were discussing, you know, how to have inflation keep up with our road funding problems. So this is probably not an issue we'll be discussing this week because there are no simple solutions on that, but certainly it requires probably a very bipartisan decision. The other thing that we might be discussing that I'm hearing a lot about, more so in the House rather than the Senate, would be the Main Street Fairness Bill, which right now are your local downtown businesses. If somebody sells the same thing on the Internet, they don't have to necessarily, even though people, when you buy something on the Internet, you're supposed to pay those taxes
to the state
yes. at the end of the year. They don't, and the businesses aren't collecting that. So it's really kind of creating an unfair advantage with our local businesses.
And we have a call on the line here for you. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm I needed to ask a different question. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. If you do have a question for the senator, give us a call, 395-1450. We'd be happy to take that call for you. How do you see that fair tax going?
The Main Street Fairness, it's going to require a majority of probably the senators to push it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Some senators, with very good reason, say, well, they understand that. They believe that it's more of a federal issue, and so we should be deciding it at the federal issue. And I would agree with that, but with all the log jamming in at the federal government, I don't know how what the chances of that happening are. So. Certainly, this is a legislature that really has focused upon finding the solutions for our citizens out there to really make people's lives better and find solutions.
Do you buy from the internet?
Pardon?
Do you buy from the internet?
Not really.
No?
I have before. I can't say I've never done it, and I've always reported my taxes at the end
Very
of the
good.
Year. But I generally like to support my
Local businesses.
Yeah. You know, sometimes there's something that you can only find on the internet. But generally, I like to support my local businesses.
Got a call here. Yes, you're online with our guest.
Yeah. The question is about this on your electrical bills and all these other bills. They get this ready-to-serve charge. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, that are you talking about the low-income heating assistance charge or a different charge?
It's a different charge. Whenever you get a light bill or a gas bill or a water bill, they just started this, and it says this so much ready to serve, like it's an extra $10 added to your bill.
You know, I am happy to look in for that. Next time I'm on the show, I can have an answer for you. We did vote upon a low-income heating assistance thing, which actually was a reduction from how it used to be. But the ready-to-serve, I would have to look into it for you.
Yeah, you know, your water bill used to be so much. Now, all of a sudden, they got on there. It's an extra $10 ready-to-serve. And they say, well, that's just so we can make sure that we got water for you.
Interesting.
Well, I don't think that's legal.
Well, they would have had to have gone to the agency that
Commission.
The Michigan Public Service Commission to. Thank you, Duke. the Michigan Public Service Commission to get that approved.
The gas company is doing it. The water company, Holland Township Water, is doing it. And pretty soon, it's going to be wherever you go. We're ready to serve you, so we're going to charge you extra.
Yeah.
If
it's not for what you've used.
Yeah.
Right.
So okay. I don't know how can they do that?
I'm happy to look into that for you. Next time I'll have an answer for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I looked at my gas bill the other day, and the costs other than the gas itself were in excess of what the gas was.
Yeah, you really feel, I pay those same bills, and you feel like you get nickeled and dimed to death, so, but.
And when I remember the first time when we hooked up to Consumers Power out in the country, we got a gas, an electric bill that said, I don't know, $2.50 or $2.75, it wasn't very much, but there wasn't any other cost with it, but now we have all these additional costs.
Right.
Which they probably should put in the cost of the product itself.
Exactly. Yeah. Why they don't do that and they separate it out, I don't know.
Probably so we don't know what they're doing. All right. We're talking with the senator this morning. You have a question, give us a call, 395-1450. Line's open. You did increase the cost of going hunting and fishing.
Well, I did not vote for
that. You didn't vote for that,
but other people did vote for that. The argument for that was that it's actually most of the sport groups out there actually supported it. So when you have the people who will be paying that tax saying to vote for that fee, and the department said that it had not been raised in the last 15 years. And so they've got increased costs, and so they're passing that on to the users that actually use it, and the users supposedly supported it, although I don't know. I've not really ran into one hunter and fisherman that's really happy about it. So, but I guess take it up with their groups. And I did vote no on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a hunter or fisherman myself, but I realize that we have to have control of deer herd and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very important, particularly now when we're seeing a lot of auto accidents and deer accidents. Pretty difficult to avoid one once in a while.
Right. Of course, it's not as bad as it seems like it used to be. It seems like the deer herd has been a little bit less than what it used to be. But I remember in one year, both my husband and I both were driving down the road and got a deer. So.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Not intentionally with our cars.
I see these deer signs, and I say, why don't they make them cross there? So they.
Right. Right.
It'll be easier.
The other package of bills I'm working on is with regards to a conflict of interest for our boards. If you recall, Channel 8 did an expose about an abortion clinic up in Muskegon where he was performing shoddy work. And regardless of your feelings on abortion, this doctor, the charges were dismissed without really a hearing at the because he had done his internship with the fellow who was in charge of the Board of Medicine. And so what mine says is if you've got a personal relationship with somebody on the Board of Medicine that is the actual overseer of mm-hmm. Discipline and licensing and all that, that you should have a mandatory recusal process, that you should not really be able to weigh in and have sole control to dismiss charges like that because many women were hurt because of this. And so, and regardless of whether it's the Board of Medicine or the Board of Dentistry or anything, we have these boards up there really to protect the public. And if there's kind of a good old boy network where they all know each other and they're going to turn a blind eye to that sort of behavior and shoddy work, then they should be held accountable. So it puts more teeth into that. It's a package of 15 bills and will really, I think, protect the public
mm-hmm.
more.
Mm-hmm. I have to take time out here for a good word from one of our sponsors, and that is DeLange's Redberry Farm, where they have plenty of red raspberries right now and fresh strawberries. So stop out at DeLange's Redberry Farm at 5723 Port Sheldon Road between Borculo and Hudsonville. They also have pumpkins, gourds, squash, mums, corn stalks, and straw bales. Check their website at redberryfarm.com, or I should say redberryfarm.info, or you can call them at 875-6026 for information before coming out. That's 875-8026, DeLange's Redberry Farm for raspberries and ever-bearing strawberries. 5723 Port Sheldon Road between Borculo and Hudsonville. Doesn't that just make you want to get out there and pick some berries?
It does. Raspberries sound really good.
Yeah, they do. They do. All right. We have the senator here this morning. You have a question for her. You may call us at 395-1450. Our line is open. Anything else special you're working on?
The conflict of interest bills, and really just trying to regroup my priorities to really focus on, you know, why I came to Lansing, which was really to make Michigan a number one jobs producer, you know, mm-hmm. streamline, get rid of a lot of the regulations, the red tape, so that businesses out there that feel they're being nickeled and dimed to death. Or, you know, I had one lady at the Grand Rapids Chamber this morning that was like saying, you know, I get all these forms, you know, what are we doing? And actually, I think this governor has been very good for the last 3 years in eliminating about 2,000 unnecessarily cumbersome things that small job providers and medium-sized job providers have to deal with. But our job's not over yet. There's still a lot of, I think, waste in government that we can attack to make sure that Michigan's a great place to do business. When I first came into the Senate, the unemployment rate was over 14%. Now it's much lower than mm-hmm. that. And so I think we've done a whether it's reforms in unemployment, in workman's comp, in terms of getting rid of the cumbersome Michigan business tax. We've done a good way of reshaping Michigan's economy to make it so that, because I've always believed the best social program's a job. And
it does help.
It does help. And so we need to keep our eye. And even though we've come a long way since 3 years ago when I took office, we need to go much farther and make it so that people can not have the dependence upon government, but really take personal responsibility and have the ability to earn a wonderful livelihood out there in the private sector.
Yeah, you really don't have any taxes until you have people working.
That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, we used to have a lot of people on welfare, and we've kind of trimmed our welfare roles. You know, I firmly believe that, you know, welfare, you need a social safety net temporarily, but the key word there is temporarily. It should not be a way of life, and we should be teaching more people how to fish rather than giving them fish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The governor has been accused of not making jobs in Michigan, that he said he'd make jobs and he's not making jobs. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, I disagree. I think I think the last figure out there was about 265,000 jobs have been created in the last 4 years. And definitely, you know, we'd like to see more, and we haven't nearly recovered from the decade of job losses that we faced. But, you know, I'm going to more and more ribbon cuttings and hearing of more and more people getting to work rather than going to community college to get reskilled in their training. So I really think that, you know, if it wasn't really for the national economy kind of stuck and stalled, I think if you factor that out, that we are really on the road.
I have another call for you. Yes, you're online with our guest.
Yes, thank you. I heard you mention a few times, you know, getting rid of regulations for businesses, and it seems quite business-orientated. I'd sure like to see some emphasis on cost to senior citizens, whether that's increases in license plate fees or hunting fees or all these different fees and charges. It's overwhelming to a Social Security check.
I would totally agree with you, and that's why I voted no on the hunting and fishing license fees, because a lot of people, I'll never forget the gentleman, an elderly gentleman, but he came home, or he came up to me at the Decatur Christmas parade and said, "Tanya, we depend upon, you know, going out and getting a deer for our sustenance and our meat for the whole year, and you know, we can't afford you raising hunting and fishing fees on us." So that has always stuck with me. That was about 5 years ago when they were discussing raising the hunting and fishing fees. So
I appreciate that, but it's all the other things too.
Yeah, no.
Like the person called earlier, $10 ready to serve fee. Well, that's $10 out of a Social Security check again.
Right, right.
And, it's just one thing after another.
I totally hear you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're here with the senator this morning. You got a call, 395-1450. Our line's open. We'll take a look at our weather here. The weather is brought to you by Kia of Holland. That's hollandkia.com. And the weather outlook is for partly cloudy today with a high of 68. And for tonight, clear with a low of 43. And tomorrow, mainly sunny with a high of 71. On Wednesday, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 73. And right now, we're still looking in the 40s here in the Tulip City. Cool out there. Wear something warm.
It is. I had to break out the turtleneck this morning.
Yeah.
It was so cold out when I got up this morning.
Yeah. You live in the Paw Paw area, right?
I do.
Yeah. And that's just a short drive from here, actually.
It really is.
Yeah.
I take the back roads. It's wonderful to pass all the farmers markets and all the wonderful places on the way up there.
Yeah, yeah. And Paw Paw is a nice place, too.
It is.
And you have that big highway running through it, of course, which is important to the business in the town.
Yep.
Too.
I-94 is very important.
Yeah. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Even feeding all these children at school, what are the parents doing with the food stamp money?
What are the parents doing with food stamp money? I suppose they buy some food. The earlier caller on the program indicated that they have a hands-on program that brings food to school.
Okay.
And that is something new for the Holland High area. So I don't know what's the necessity of it, but I suppose they do know in school. So I don't know what...
You know, it's really too bad that so many children are coming to school hungry.
It is.
I represent Kalamazoo right now, and there's a lot of free and reduced lunch, and, mm-hmm. and that makes me very sad. And I think the idea is not really to create more government programs, but really get these people back to work.
Yeah, I don't think you went to school hungry or without lunch.
No, and if I did, it was because I didn't like what they were serving that day. So, you know, it's important that I think, and I think we also need to do a better job at educating our children on eating less processed foods and really getting back to, you know, the fruits and vegetables that we grow in this area as, you know, full of vitamins and nutrients.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, process chemicals where you don't understand what's in them anymore. So,
well, I usually took a lunch from home, and of course I went to school about a long time before you did. But I always had plenty to eat, and never a problem. Even though we went through the Great Depression.
Right.
But when you live on a farm, you kind of take care of that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, more people growing their own, you know, fruits
right,
and vegetables.
Right. Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Yes. I know several people that are on the food stamps, and they go in and buy all sorts of, the ones I know, I'm sure everybody doesn't, the ones I know go in and buy all sorts of junk snacks and junk food type things. And if that stuff just wasn't allowed, if they had to buy fruits and vegetables as opposed to garbage, it might, well, for one thing, it would help the kids to be able to eat better and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of, you know, all the sugar stuff is what they buy.
I don't disagree with you. You know, while not everyone on food stamps.
Right.
Is abusing the system. There is some fraud, waste, and abuse, and we've been trying to attack that. You know, it's very hard. There is a prohibition upon prepackaged goods, but, you know, I'll never forget, I was at the grocery store, and here was a mom buying, you know, one of those prepared chickens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's a nutritious meal, but she couldn't buy it because of, you know, it was a prepared food. And so we have tried to put parameters on that, but it just seems like, you know, some people, you know, find that way around the parameters, while others with very good intentions of buying one of those whole chickens at the deli counter, you know, can't do that. So,
okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Good morning. You're online with the senator.
Yes. I was wondering if this is state or federal type of deal, but when they were talking about trying to fix things a little bit more for mental health, where the parents and the doctors kind of are on the same page, like... was it Virginia Tech, somewhere where they had had a gentleman that shot up a bunch of people. The parents knew they were kind of bad. The teachers knew they were kind of bad. And the doctors knew he was kind of bad, but nobody could talk to each other because of this HIPAA and all that. Have they improved that at all so that people can kind of all work together to help the person? I'll hang up and let you respond. Thank you.
Thank you. While we can improve our mental health system and certainly, I think, bring awareness to the issue, as you saw, you know, in that horrific Navy Yard accident, you know, people, you know, had heard he was hearing voices and You know, so it's really cognizant on those around you be aware and recognize the signs and get these people help. But as far as HIPAA is still the law. And so in terms of improve, I believe the standard is something like if you believe there's imminent danger, you can, you know, then report it to authorities. Until then, there is a degree of patient confidentiality and HIPAA requirements there to prevent somebody from doing that. But oftentimes, you know, it's not a doctor relationship. It's oftentimes neighbors, friends, family members that are kind of in denial. And so if you know somebody that you recognize these signs, you know,
let somebody know.
Let somebody know.
Tanya, we're out of time today. I want to thank you very much for being our guest here on the program.
Thank you very much. It went very fast. Thank you, Duke.